Welcome back, everybody, to the Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. I hope you're all doing well. I have with me tonight somebody who I think is doing an amazing job, probably one of the better journalists I'm seeing, especially in the White House. But with me is Simon Atiba, who's the chief White House correspondent from Today Africa News. Simon, I appreciate you coming to the Great Divide podcast. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
I got to tell you, and I saw you, you know, on Tucker Carlson, and he said it right. You're probably the best journalist in the room. I mean, you know, you don't get the attention you deserve, which is amazing to me. And I really wanted to start. I know we don't have a lot of time, but man, I feel like I could talk to you for hours about things, like how you frame your questions. But how did you get to be a White House correspondent? How did that, what journey did that you brought you there?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. I, you know, love going to all the shows, big shows like Tucker Carlson with millions of viewers, medium shows, small shows. I don't discriminate because that's what I'm, you know, that's what I'm pressing them to do at the White House. I'm pressing them to not judge people because they have millions or billions of viewers, but, you know, judge people by the content of their, the quality of their questions. So it's been a long journey, right? I've been arrested in Nigeria when doing an investigative, in Cameroon while doing an investigative report on Nigerian refugees. I've been attacked by pirates on the Gulf of Guinea. And, you know, I've been accused of being a spy for Boko Haram while doing my job. I've been also kidnapped in Nigeria, dumped in the woods and left for dead, but survived. So it's been a rough journey. I was born in Cameroon and I studied in Nigeria. I did my first degree, my second degree. I've done only one thing. I've done only journalism. I've not done anything else. And so I love it. And when I came to the U.S., I realized that there wasn't enough coverage of U.S.-Africa relations. And this happened at the time China was rising. China was spreading disinformation against the U.S. They were taking over Africa, and they are not a democratic nation. And I thought to myself, no, we need to increase the focus, increase, you know, strengthen U.S.-Africa relation by providing accurate and relevant information to the people. And so we began to do that. It was really tough because, you know, you need to, the publication didn't exist. We had to found it. And I began to do that and covering the State Department, the Foreign Press Center, the, you know, the Pentagon, different government agencies. And eventually, I used to go to the White House. I would go to the White House when African leaders visit the White House. I was there when President Trump received the President of Nigeria and other events. But I wasn't a full-time White House correspondent. So right now, I'm a full-time White House correspondent for Today News Africa. And as I said, our job is to focus on U.S.-Africa relations, even as China and Russia, you know, are increasing, expanding their influence across the African continent.
It's an amazing journey. Kidnapped, left for dead, arrested, accused of being a spy, and now you are a full-time White House correspondent who has a very interesting professional relationship with Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. I affectionately call her KJP. I've seen your, they call them outbursts, but you're asking the question, Simon, that, like myself, as just an American citizen, a voter, I want to hear the answers to. And it's amazing how they just shoo you away like you are a peasant and not fulfilling their duty of full transparency to the American people by answering a journalist's question. So how did it come about? Was there something specific that just all of a sudden KJP just, you know, that guy over there, Today News Africa, I'm not going to speak to him. Like, why won't she acknowledge you? It's been about 4 months now, right?
No, she's doing a horrible job, right? Like, when I got to my journey is really interesting. When I got to the U.S., I'm black. And so I was told, if you are Black, you need to be a liberal. You need to be a conservative, you know, be aligned with the Democratic Party.
Wow.
And so when a newspaper endorsed a presidential candidate in 2020, we didn't endorse President Trump, we endorsed President Biden. Because, you know, they've told us President Trump is the bad guy, he's the racist, it's Black. And so I was like, oh my God, heaven has come, you know, upon us. So I need to now become a full-time White House correspondent because goodness has come to the White House. You know, equity has come to the White House. And so I found myself in the White House and I began to realize that things were not quite that way. I remember asking Jen Psaki in November 2021, she was the press secretary then. Uh-huh. Why did President Biden ban only Black African nations over the Omicron variant? That was also in the UK, Hong Kong, in every other places. And just imagine if President Trump had banned only Black African nation over a variant that was in Hong Kong, in the UK, in Sweden, in different European countries. They will have labeled him as a racist and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And once I challenged them and asked them to give us the fact, because six of those eight countries that were banned from coming to the US were actually had zero cases of the Omicron variant.
Right.
And so I began to challenge them, and we began to have this really bad relationship. And so when KGP came, she used to be the press secretary, the principal deputy press secretary.
Yeah.
So she would sit there on the side and she would watch the whole drama, and she already knew who our enemies are. So when I got to the White House, at first she would give me a few questions, and then when I began to ask her tough questions, and you know, the recent explosive interaction that we had was over the COVID.
Yes.
You know, Dr. Fauci, that was in November this last year. Dr. Fauci came for his last White House press briefing. And a journalist from the Daily Caller wanted to ask him about the origins of COVID. And KGP shut the journalist down, almost dressed her down and told her, no, you know, we have a process here. And I intervened and said, no, you know, she has a valid question. COVID has killed more than, if we have to go by the official figures,
right,
COVID has killed more than 1 million people in this country. More people have died, you know, from COVID and all the wars, all the recent wars combined.
I don't buy it.
So won't we really dedicate enough time to understand where the COVID came from, what is being done to investigate the origins of COVID, the vaccines and all those things. And so when you ask those questions or when you intervene and try to, you know, press her to answer the real question, she doesn't. For instance, today at the White House, you know, she had this long press briefing. I wanted to ask her about the two emergencies that the president announced yesterday that he will be extending until May 11
right,
of this year. And, you know, many people are asking, why don't you just end them now? Because you said last year that the pandemic is over.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't want to talk about that. She doesn't want to talk about the classified document. Nope. She doesn't want to talk about the vice president. You know, we have information that is she going to be there? Is she not going to join President Biden for, you know, if and when he decides to run for a re-election? So right, when you ask those tough questions, when you don't send your questions in advance, or the White House calls it topics, you know, send your topic in advance and ask them tough question, you are blacklisted.
That's what I was going to ask you too. But for, you remember when, you know, Joe Biden was getting into office and Jen Psaki was taking over the podium in the press briefing room, where she specifically said, we're bringing transparency back to the briefing room. Now you're in the White House press briefing room every day. Okay. It's your full-time gig. And I'm going to ask you on a scale from 1 to 10, the transparency level in that briefing room, 10 being the most transparent, where would you rate the transparency right now as a chief White House correspondent?
Yeah, so I would grade it. I would give it 1 or 2. I will give it one or two. So when the president came to power, he was this new guy who was going to be transparent, who was going to be the guy for the little guy in the briefing room, the guy for equity and the guy for black people and brown people and white people and all those people.
The great unifier, it was supposed to be.
And so he was replacing a guy he said was the worst guy in universe, and he was bringing this breath of fresh air. And so all of us believed that it was going to be different. But the classified document scandal has exposed, you know, I wouldn't even go back to Afghanistan and the withdrawal and, you know, all the things that have happened in that White House. But the classified document scandal has exposed the level of transparency, of lack of transparency in the Biden White House. You know, the classified document, if we have to go, a lot of things in DC are based on lies and manipulation.
Sure.
When the White House says the document, the classified document were found, the first batch of classified document were found on the 2nd of November. That's what the White House says. That's the official narrative that the White House pushes. Wow. It may be true, it may be a lie. Right. You know, the fact that a lawyer was searching the president's private office and suddenly found the classified document, the level of transparency has been very low. We don't have enough information about the timeline, the location. We didn't even know until yesterday that the Biden penthouse was searched in mid-November.
Right.
We didn't know until last month that the classified document were actually found in November before the midterms. We didn't, you know, so we've had piecemeal, you know, information dripping, you know, or dropping bit by bit. And so the level of transparency has been very low, and I will give them maybe two out of 10.
Well, we have the official grade of the transparency of the White House briefing room from Simon Atiba. We'll give it a solid 2. So I know you were pressuring the question. You asked her straight out. If you asked KJP if she thought she was fit for the job to be press secretary, and I mean, to me, it's a rhetorical question. I look at her and see that no, she is not fit to be press secretary. I'm imagining a lot of journalists in that room probably feel the same way up to this point on how she's been handling things, everyday issues. What do you say?
So right now, there's a growing frustration in the White House. So imagine you've been at the White House every day. Your job is to talk to people, try to sense where the country is going, where the world is going, because the U.S. is still the greatest country in the world, right? Yeah. You know, when the U.S. decide to push a particular issue, that becomes the main issues or the main issue or the main topic in the world.
Sure.
And so you sit at a White House, you ask her basic questions about timeline and location, and she tells you, we are going to refer you to the White House counsel, or we are going to refer you to the to the Justice Department. And so even today at the White House, you know, there were several journalists were actually frustrated because she won't even answer basic questions. And people have to preface their question. They have to tell her, hey, you know, okay, this is not a legal question. This is a political question. Why don't you give us an answer? And then she won't give an answer. So the press briefing has become almost like a waste of time where you go, you know, that you're not going to get answer. The only answer that you may get is if you send topics in advance to her, you know, the White House, we say, hey, you know, if you have a specific area that you want us to discuss, send it in advance. And so people end up sending topics and questions.
Right.
And she has this binder and she reads all those questions from the binder. And if it's not in the binder, you won't really get an answer. And the binder means that she will give you a professional, official answer, right? And but you don't engage in back and forth where you really get to have questions. For people watching us now, I want them to know that that briefing room doesn't only have people from CNN or from NBC. You have different people who have different questions and who represent the American people. Not everyone can be at the White House. There are only 49 seats for, 49 seats for journalists, and a few journalists stand. Right. So we are there to ask questions on behalf of the American people or on behalf of U.S. allies. And so when you decide to rig the press briefing and give only call on the people who are your friends, what you do a great disservice to the country.
So you answered my question, because one of my questions were, Simon, are there journalists that KJP and her office favors who have direct access to her, who they play a, when she needs to, a cordial back and forth to make it look like she's actually doing something for the administration? Is that something that happens?
Yeah, that's what happens. So if you send topics in advance, let's say I'm like, hey, today I want to ask you about COVID and vaccine, and maybe I give you the entire question.
Okay.
And so you look for an answer, you call maybe people at the CDC, where we right now. And so you come to the briefing room and you call on me, you already have my question, you already have the answer. So you're not actually doing anything. Right. For the people watching at home, it appears to be a normal press conference with reporter asking questions and the press secretary giving answers. But in reality, it's a sham, a shame. It's a show where, questions are known in advance and, she has prepared answers. And if those answers are not there, what happens is, she's lost and she will tell you, she won't give you any answer.
Yeah, and you see it, and it's very frustrating. Just as someone who watches the press briefings, and I don't know how many people actually watch them. I watch them because, I do my podcast and I talk to people like you. And it's very frustrating that for the most simple questions, we don't get an answer to. But and I've been saying this since Jen Psaki, and I firmly believe this. When Donald Trump was president, he was in the press briefing room a lot, and his press secretary was with him all of the time. And I truly believe that even since Jen Psaki, I believe that Jen Psaki and I believe KJP do not have direct access face-to-face to Joe Biden. Maybe that's a conspiracy theory. Maybe it's completely not true. Maybe but no, I believe that.
So KGP and Jen Psaki, they have some direct access, right? But I'm not sure they have enough direct access. And let me give you an example. The classified document. Mm-hmm. When KGP stands before us and we ask her a question, it's obvious that she doesn't have the meat. She doesn't have the information.
Right.
So to be fair to her, it's almost like she's not being given the information and she's the one who is sent to have an interaction with the American people.
Right.
Because we are just the middlemen.
Yeah. They're the face of the administration every day. We need to get answers from them and read and watch outlets like yours, like Today News Africa, and what Simon Atiba is doing in the briefing room as a journalist for you to report back to us so we get a better understanding of what's going on in this administration. Because we all know that the mainstream media, what they do, your reporting, I know, is way different than CNN's reporting is going to be, because they have a narrative and there's a lot of money behind them and they're influenced that way. I want to ask you, as a White House correspondent, how do you want to ultimately see things in the briefing room?
Okay, so the first thing that everyone in the briefing room we want is to call on a diverse group of people across the room. Call on different people. Come on people from the left, come on people from the right or on the right. Call on regional media outlet.
Right.
Call on the big ones, call on the small ones. Call on me from time to time. Like, I don't have a question every day. I don't need to be called on every day. But what happens in the White House is you already have those few people. You almost know what we ask you. You watch TV, you watch CNN, you know what CNN yeah. is talking about. And then when you ask them, they ask you, when you call on them, they ask you the same question. So that's the first thing. Call on different people across the room. Second thing is provide answers that people really care about. And if you do that, if you call on different people and you provide answers, what you will do is the press briefing will become more interesting.
Yeah.
What's happening now is when the press briefing loses its shine or the meat, the bone, you know, you don't have anything. People don't expect to really get answers. You know, people just tune out. People, you know, people leave. People don't watch anymore. Right. What you need to do is you need to ensure that, and also you need to tell the truth, right? You don't give people half, you know, truth. Give people the truth. Tell them, hey, the search is not over. The classified, you know, when you begin to lie to people and you don't give them the information or you don't give them the full or complete information, you tell them the classified documents were found in the president's private office on November 2nd, full stop. Right. And then a few days after, we realized, hey, there were more classified documents. They are still searching the homes. They just search a home today. What's going on? And people realize that you can... you're not telling them the truth. You can't be trusted. And that's what is happening to KGP. Karine Jean-Pierre, she's lost her integrity with the classified document.
There's no integrity in the briefing room at all, because when they tell you to see the White House counsel, and I forget who the reporter was, I think today, who said, well, we went to the White House counsel and he said, we're not commenting on that. And you're not asking legal questions. You're just asking, say, procedural questions, we'll say.
Yeah.
It's a shame that we can't get any answers, but that's by design. There's a reason why they found him November 2nd and they didn't want to tell the American people until after the midterms, because they know that would hurt Democrat candidates all over the country, especially with what was going on with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. They knew that, yeah. And that was all political theater. And that, again, proves the politicizing and the weaponization of certain agencies politically, like the DOJ, the FBI, and the other agencies in between. But it's a shame. And I know you don't have a lot of time left. And I wanted to ask you this. I was actually prompted by a few people they knew you were coming on my show. They wanted to know what top three questions that you have as a journalist, as a White House chief correspondent, that you try to ask KJP, or what's the top three questions you'd really want answers to right now as a correspondent in the White House press briefing room that you're just not getting called on to ask?
One of the key questions that I have has to do with intelligence agencies. You remember January 6th?
Of course.
Everyone is blaming the former president. Maybe he wasn't perfect. Maybe he didn't do what he was supposed to do. But can you imagine that the greatest country on earth with the most sophisticated intelligence agencies actually failed right here in Washington? They failed to see that some people were going to go into the Capitol and do what they did. They failed to do that. And so last October, on October 29, the U.S. intelligence agencies informed the embassy in Nigeria and the embassy in South Africa that a bomb attack was about to take place on October 29. So they gave, you know, they call it alert. And so they had to move people from Nigeria and from South Africa to return to the U.S. They spent millions of dollars and, you know, some of those people are still in the U.S. On that same day, a bomb actually took place, but it took place 3,000 miles away in Mogadishu in Somalia. And it killed 100 people and more than 300 people were injured. And so the question is, who provided that information? If they failed to identify or they missed their target by 3,000 miles, what does that say about the intelligence agencies, even here in the U.S., where they've missed 9/11 and January 6th and other. How does the president intend to, you know, what was his reaction when he realized that the intelligence agencies, the best in the world, actually missed their target by 3,000 miles and 100 people were killed and more than 300 people were injured? And what does that say about January 6th and the rest? And then different other questions like that.
Yeah, it goes back to talking about intelligence agencies, and that's why, and a lot of people feel this way, a lot of people, that intelligence agencies are corrupt, they're weaponized, and what was there, they won't even answer questions from certain senators and members of Congress if there were involvement. They already know there was involvement from intelligence agencies in January 6th. And I'm hoping that all comes out in the new House with the Republicans doing investigations and church-style committees and things like that. And I hope we learn more about January 6th in particular, because I truly believe as an American and seeing what unfold and doing my own research, because I will not listen to mainstream media, of course, that they were, our intelligence agencies were involved as provocateurs and antagonists in January 6th. I truly believe that. I don't think there's any way around it. But yeah, I mean, that is a great question. I think questions in and around our intelligence agencies need to be asked. I think they need to move your seat and put you right next to Peter Doocy and then just have you guys.
That would be explosive. I love Peter. He's doing a great job.
Yes.
Right now, KGP doesn't. Or calls on Jackie from Fox 2. She calls on Jackie last. Actually, yeah. She skipped her, you know, I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, she wasn't giving her any questions. And so she called her today, but she was among the last people she called.
And KJP won't meet with you. Like, she just gave a remark, oh, I'll meet with you next year, maybe. She told me
to my face that she won't meet with me. And the last thing I will say, because I have to go, and before I ask people to subscribe to our website and all those things, the last thing I will say is, when you ask tough questions, when you decide to do the right thing, you suffer. So right now, I'm not being invited to events. She's not called on me in the briefing room in the past 5 months. Today was the last day of Ron Klain, the chief of staff.
Right.
And so he's handing over to the new chief of staff, Mrs. Zion. And I wasn't invited. I applied and I wasn't credentialed. And so you suffer when you do the right thing. They punish you. They try to isolate you. And so it can be tough to do the right thing, be isolated. But then it opened my eyes to understand that, you know, the moral superiority that the left claims over the right, it's actually false. And that's great. Right now, I believe that when you relate to people, you need to relate to them on an individual basis. Forget the party, forget the religion, forget how many degrees someone has or how many cars and how many, you know, all those things. You know, just see people as people. I have, you know, interacted with people who are conservative on the right, and they are great people. They're amazing. They've treated me well. I've not personally been attacked by any of them. And I came to realize, oh my God, why did I close my mind? Because of all the things that they've told me. They've told me these are the bad people and these are the good people. And the good people treated me this way, right in the White House. And I realized, you know, to me it was quite a journey. And so I will ask everyone watching now to keep praying for me. It's tough. Once you do the right thing, you don't even get advertisement for the publication.
No.
People are scared, you know, should we give money to Today News Africa to advertise?
Well, I want people to, like, I just pulled up your website. I want everyone to be able to go to the website. How do they support your work? How do they find you? Simon, I just want to say, you keep doing what you're doing, because I see you fighting the good fight in that press briefing room. And listen, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and you have to keep squeaking and keep speaking up and asking these questions. And I'm gonna try to, every show I speak to, they need to have you on to speak what's going on in the press briefing room and get you out there. and get you more coverage. I think it's very important. And Tucker Carlson saw that, which was great. And I want to have you back. I want to have you back regularly, like once a month, to come back and speak about the news and what's really going on. I think you're an amazing, amazing journalist and probably the best and most aggressive journalist with the most integrity sitting in that White House press briefing room. So where can everybody find you and support you, Simon?
So the first thing, everyone should go to todaynewsafrica.com and click support us. $10, $20, anything you can give to support us. We don't get advertisement from the big donors and the people who control Washington, D.C. And when you do the right thing the way I'm doing now, it becomes tough. And, you know, and people laugh at you, right? Yeah. Because here you are, you try to do the right thing, ask the right question, things that people care about, and then you are struggling to make a living.
Yeah, yeah.
But
let's face it, you're not in this for the money.
Yeah, some people who may not, who are just there for the money, they have access to everything. And I'm just here to do the job. And anyone who support me, just to do the job, go to todaynewsafrica.com, hit support us and support us. The second thing you need to do, you need to follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, your Twitter feed's on fire. Where are you on Twitter?
You just go to @SimonAteba, Simon, S-I-M-O-N, Ateba, A-T-E-B-A. And follow me, and you can also hit support us there.
I'll be sharing the links everywhere. Make sure everybody, you go to todaynewsafrica.com, hit the support us button, $5, $10. You know, Simon's out there doing the work that every journalist should be doing, and he's actually doing it, and he needs the exposure, and we need to get him at the forefront out there because he's trying to put, you know, hold KJP's feet and the Biden administration's feet to the fire, and he's having a lot of pushback. So we need to support him. Simon, keep doing everything that you're doing. I'm so happy I was able to speak with you and we made this happen. We're going to stay in touch. I'm definitely going to have you back. And again, I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, Simon, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. I mean, if that's not, if that isn't, a testament to what's going on in the White House press briefing room. You know, we always all joke about it and we speak about it on various shows and online and how, but this, we're seeing it in real life. There is no transparency. And as much as they want to spew from their mouths at the podium and use fancy words and, oh, we'll refer you to White House counsel for this. And well, we spoke about that. I only hear that when they really are speaking about something, it's, well, the prior administration did this and the prior administration did that, trying to blame everything bad that's happening now on the previous president, Donald J. Trump. And I'm going to say this, that I hope that Simon gets the support he needs, that he's able to keep carrying on in the White House press briefing room. I want to see Donald J. Trump in the presidency. Everybody knows I'm Team Trump, and I want him to be a president in 2024, and I want to see the press secretary, whoever that might be, call on Simon on a regular basis, because I need to have Simon back here because I'm so interested in the China involvement with Africa that KJP doesn't want to acknowledge, and what why America should be really paying attention on what's going on in Africa. And he brings up an unbelievable point about the intelligence agencies. And I mean, we've been questioning intelligence agencies forever, and we've been seeing more and more. I mean, it just came out. We know that the CIA was complicit in JFK's assassination, but we've always known that, but it's confirmed now. We know so many things that the intelligence agencies were involved with, you know, basically against the American people, and you could even say against the country in various aspects. I mean, look at January 6th. I'm sorry, but Ray Epps is some sort of federal asset. He is, whether he's an informant, whether he's an agent. And when someone like Ray Epps incites going into the Capitol and rushing in, and he's not in jail, and there are all of these people that went to jail, sentenced to prison. Some aren't sentenced yet. You know, that is a tremendous problem. As a matter of fact, I think next week I'm going to be having Cynthia Hughes. She is a big a January 6th advocate. And I apologize because I literally forgot the organization, her website right now, because I wasn't thinking about mentioning it. I'll get that out. You'll know it when you hear it, but she deals with the January 6th defendants' families constantly. And I think we're going to end up doing a weekly segment, getting updates on the aftermath of families and what they're going through and what's happening there. I did hear that they did end solitary confinement in the jails. These people shouldn't even be in jail anyway. Trespassing, interrupting meetings. I mean, it's quite frustrating. And then you have, first of all, the Simon story of coming here and what he's gone through, kidnapped, arrested, accused of being a spy and everything else. And now sitting in the White House press briefing room every day is unbelievable. And what he's trying to do, and he's not being nefarious about it. If you go back and watch the video clips, and you have to follow him on Twitter, his Twitter feed's always on fire. He's very, he's very fair. He's not leaning right. He's not leaning left. He's very, very fair on his postings on Twitter and how he's reporting. And he's literally asking for people on Twitter to react to what's going on. And I think he's amassed almost 90,000 followers in a very short time, but he's over on Twitter at Simon Atiba. It's at Simon, S-I-M-O-N, Atiba, A-T-E-B-A. And also Today News Africa has a Twitter, which is at Today News Africa. Again, todaynewsafrica.com. Go there and support. As soon as I'm done with the show, I'm going on there. I'm clicking that yellow support button and I'm sending him some money so he can keep on keeping on. He had to take care of some things, so he couldn't stay with me the full hour, but I definitely want to have him back because, again, I'm really, truly interested in the China involvement. And basically, like, you know, why I didn't get a chance, but, you know, why the White House should really care about China and Africa ties and why things happening in Africa is important to the United States. I mean, I know that we always have, you know, we always have troops in Africa. My brother-in-law came back from a deployment, an 8-month deployment on a rotation from Africa. July. And I believe we have at any given time, either 7,000 or 8,000 troops in Africa. You know, we have troops all over the world. A lot of things happen in Africa. There are things he told me that were happening there he told me I couldn't talk about. And there's always things going on there that affect us. I mean, we have China that is, and again, I want to get into this with Simon, but, you know, we know that China is there trying to get every type of precious mineral and known to man in Africa, just like they're doing in Afghanistan. Okay. I can't imagine what the Chinese are doing in Afghanistan since we evacuated. And, it seems like China's just going up, 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 up. And our current administration just, you know, we were stagnant and now just we're nosediving in everything. I mean, you can't tell me that you didn't have more money in your 401k, that you didn't have more money in your bank account when Donald Trump was president. I'm a small business owner. I own several small businesses, and I'm telling you, I'm not a millionaire, but I had a lot more money in my investment accounts, in my IRAs, 401ks, in my bank account than I had more money with Donald Trump as president than I do now. When the presidency changed, and I talk about this a lot with other individuals. A friend of mine, he said his portfolio, and this was catastrophic. His portfolio decreased by almost 70% when Joe Biden got into office and everything that was going on. You imagine that? 70% things that you've worked so hard for in your investments or building. All right. When people are telling me a dozen eggs are $9. I mean, I'm in New York. A dozen eggs are about $6 right now. And I made a joke on Twitter. I says, oh, I dropped a dozen eggs. I dropped a carton of eggs. I can't pay my mortgage this month. Please pray for me, you know, but it's a joke. But there are people out there that are struggling to put in their budget if they're going to buy a dozen eggs to cook, bake a cake, make breakfast for their family. It sounds dramatic, and it is, but there are people that struggle check to check, okay? Or, hey, am I going to pay my mortgage this month? Or it's winter, am I going to pay my heat bill? Do I need an oil delivery? And this is what's happening to the middle class, and which, by the way, we know the left, the Biden regime, and a lot of Democrat governors, including mine in New York, Kathy Hochul, wants to annihilate the middle class. They want the super poor who are dependent on the government and government programs so they can be controlled. And then the super wealthy, well, they're going to own everything and influence what goes on. The same thing like in North Korea, communist China, and other communist places where the ultra rich have the power and can direct the way things are and decisions are made, you know, kind of like how they own mainstream media here and the poor. So, you know, and yeah, you're right. I got Brandy in the chat. She's been on the show before. She's always in the chats. No one can afford to keep it up like this unless you're super rich or you're just lucky enough to be able to sustain it. But you can't sustain it without a trouble or without a struggle. I don't care who you are. You're going to struggle one way or another. Listen, so I plan on in the middle of the week trying to get guests like Simon on, doing something a little different. I'm going to be live every Tuesday. I'm going to be live every Wednesday and Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And of course, Freedom Friday with my boy James, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Freedom Fridays. And of course, I'm co-hosting We the People Radio with James every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern as well. So if you just go to my Rumble channel, 1776live.tv, it'll take you right to it. You'll be able to get the shows from Tuesday to Friday all live. And I'm always happy that you guys are here and engaging. Facebook has been horrible. Unfortunately, I'm thinking about deep sixing that Facebook page and starting a new one because the engagement went from thousands and thousands of people to hundreds because they're restricting me. Follow me on Twitter, Alan Jacoby 1776. Getter has been hopping on live. Last night, me and James had, we had like 1900 and so people watching on Getter. So it's been great over there. And of course, you can get the Great Divide podcast on every downloadable podcast platform, you know, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and everything like that. So we got a lot of stuff going on. We know the Biden documents, classified documents. The FBI did a search today. It was big breaking news. I mean, come on. Well, let's stop the bullshit, okay? With this breaking news, the FBI are searching the Delaware beach home of Joe Biden, the sitting president. First of all, they've had weeks notice. So if anything was going to be there, it's going to be removed. I mean, let's face it. The guy is the sitting president, corrupt as can be. Between all of the federal agencies and everything else, if anything was there, it's gone. They'll probably either, my big question is these classified documents that were found, we don't know the contents of them. We can guess, you know, they have to do with Ukraine and things like that. And there was some speculation about that, but are we going to actually find out what's in them? Probably not. And two, if they say they found 100 documents, did they really find 1,000? That's another question I'm really curious about. I think we probably know the answer to that. But you have the National Archives asking past presidents and vice presidents, hey, can you do us a favor while you're doing spring cleaning and up in the attic with Big Mike Obama over in Martha's Vineyard? Big Mike! Can you just kind of look through your boxes and see if you have anything with classified document symbols on it? And hey, just give us a jingle on the jangle and let us know, and we'll send over the document boy to go pick it up. But why not send full military clad, weapon carrying FBI agents to all these locations to do search warrants? I also want to know, was there an actual search warrant for the search today, or was it just one of those for optics? You know, Joey Bag of Donuts calls over to Merrick Garland, soy boy Merrick Garland, and says, hey, go do a search on my beach home. It'll be good for optics. Or did a judge actually execute a search warrant by a judge? Did a judge actually sign a search warrant? I don't know. It's all smoke and mirrors. We're never going to know. They found documents at Mike Pence's house. And listen, if they're going to have a special counsel for Joe Biden doing this, you know, investigating special classified documents with a special counsel, then they might as well do it for Mike Pence. Obama, has anyone heard anything out of the, am I missing something? I've heard nothing out of Barack Obama, old Barry Hussein over there with Big Mike about classified documents, about commenting on it, whether they found any with his crap. I have heard nothing. Are we hearing nothing for a reason? Are they gearing up for Michelle Obama's announcement that she's going to be running for president? So we can have the first not really female, but kind of female as president. Dude, she's a linebacker. There's no way. We all know how that goes. James loves talking about that, Big Mike. But again, back to the White House press briefing room. The transparency is gone. I was really happy to be able to get Simon Atiba. He is a firecracker. If you haven't seen any of his, you Google him and you'll get the video clips of him in the White House press briefing room. I mean, he's gone at it with Jen Psaki. He's gone at it with KJP. He wants answers. He wants to bring the answers to us. Obviously, the people in Africa with Today News Africa. And we need 100 more Simons sitting in the White House press briefing room. Would you just split it in half? Give me 50 Simons and give me 50 Peter Doocy's and put them in there and let them eat the administration alive. We need answers about so many things. Brandy in the chat, I'm really liking Twitter as well. Since I've been back using it since old Elon took it, my Twitter following has, quadrupled. I went from like 1900 followers to I'm almost at 13,000, and it's been great. A lot of people are seeing things and more people are tuning into the show. I will say what I find interesting on social media overall, but really specifically Twitter and paying attention to Twitter, is the Twitter paid political operatives that the Democrats are paying to push ridiculous narratives and the same lies and twisting things. For example, some moron on there was saying, well, you can thank the Republicans for voting no on selling our oil for our high gas prices at the pump, to make it seem like the Republicans are bad because the gas prices are high because they don't want Joe Biden selling our oil. Well, no, that's actually not the case, morons. We don't want Joe Biden selling anymore and depleting our strategic petroleum reserves. We're not refilling them, it seems. We're not drilling for oil, it seems. We're not energy independent. So I don't want them to sell our strategic petroleum reserves. I want them to produce new oil and sell that to keep our gas prices low. Last night, it was so funny. We had on this woman. I'm going to butcher her name. Anyway, she was a director of a George Floyd documentary. She put together a timeline. It's a great documentary. It's called George Floyd, The Real Timeline. You can get it at georgefloyddocumentary.com. I think it's $4.99 to rent. It's well worth it because it shows you angles and things and narratives that you would never see anywhere else. I mean, she literally got all of the footage. She bought the footage from the Minneapolis government, whoever was in custody of it, through Freedom of Information. I think she had to pay for it, and they gave it to her, and she put together this timeline. Anyway, not to get into that, you can go watch the last night's show, We the People Radio. and we had her on talking about it. But in part of the video, we saw me and James were like, hey, did you notice the one scene where, you know, you see the Minneapolis police and George Floyd is on the ground and the gas station across the street, and in the very corner of the screen, you see that gas was $1.89 a gallon. $1.89 a gallon. And we know who the president was. We know how things were as far as energy independence. And this was right at the beginning of the whole big COVID scamdemic. They couldn't let us enjoy the good life, which we all were starting to enjoy. No. The left and the deep state and the cabal and the bureaucrats, they could not allow Donald Trump to be the one to make America great again. And they're going to try really hard, along with the rhinos, to do it again. I don't hate Ron DeSantis. I like Ron DeSantis. I think he could be a decent president one day if he had time to cook and develop outside of Florida. You know, he's the governor of Florida. Great. He's doing a great job. I think he has rhino tendencies. I don't like the Bush connection. I don't like the Paul Ryan connection. But to me, there are a lot of rhinos, a lot of establishment Republicans gathering behind him, trying to raising big money and trying to force him into running for president. I truly don't think Ron DeSantis wants to run for president yet, but I think he's going to be forced into it by top donors and other operatives. I think he has his place down the road, but I can't support him now knowing his big rhino establishment connections. I'm not calling him an establishment rhino yet. I'm saying he has the tendencies. I think he could be cleansed of those tendencies. And I would like to see Donald Trump president again in 2024. And I'd love to have him tap Ron DeSantis on the shoulder and say, hey, I want you to run my DOJ. I want you to be the attorney general. He is an attorney. That I would like to see. And then have him, for lack of a better term, groomed into then running in 2028. Yes, Roger Stone's book about the Bush family is quite interesting. Oh, speaking of books, another one I just got, which I encourage everyone to get, and I'm going to be speaking to her about it. I was on the Steak for Breakfast podcast, which I'm on there pretty regularly, at least once or twice a month. I'm on a Steak for Breakfast podcast. It's audio only. If you don't know it, you should listen to it. It's great. They have people like Cash Patel on a lot, Liz Harrington, Christina Bob. Anyway. Christina Bob's book is out, Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. The book is amazing. The introduction was written by Steve Bannon. That I'm not impressed about because I'm not a huge Steve Bannon fan. But this book, Stealing Your Vote by Christina Bob, it's on Amazon. Go and order it. It's out. It's wild. It's the real story, what she saw, what she dealt with. She's Trump's attorney. She's the Trump 2024 campaign attorney. Very close, working with Donald Trump. And the book is just, it's out of this world. Everything from, you know, are they changing the narrative, fraud in Nevada, duplicate voters. I mean, you know, the battle for Arizona, the fight in Harrisburg. She literally touches everything, you know. Getting into the real big lie. And this is a book that you got to add to the reading list. So Stealing Your Vote, Christina Bob. All right. I'm going to leave it there. It's great having Simon Atiba on, Chief White House Correspondent from Today News Africa. Again, go over to todaynewsafrica.com. Support Simon in his work. He's really trying to do God's work in that press briefing room by forcing them into telling some sort of truth. And even though it's impossible, he's doing it. And he's doing it loud. I have not had Laura Logan on yet. She's on my short list of people to try to come on. Maybe having Laura Loomer on soon and some other people. Probably cycle Roger Stone back through again. He's been on my show quite a few times in the past. I talk to him a lot. He's always got good insight on what's going on. Another Substack you should subscribe to is Roger Stone Substack. He's got a great one. But Simon Atiba, remember over on Twitter, Simon Atiba, SimonAtiba. And of course, I'm on Twitter, Alan Jacoby 1776 and Alan, Alan. It's the only real way to spell it. All the other ways are crap. I'm also over on Truth Social at the Great Divide Podcast. I'm on Getter Alan Jacoby 1776, the Rumble channel. Ditch Facebook. I'm not on YouTube. If you're watching on Facebook, I mean, make a Rumble account. It's free. And you can get to my Rumble page at 1776live.tv. Takes you right there and you'll get all the weekly live shows. So I will be back tomorrow, same time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be diving into some news and what's going on in the clown world we're living in. And then, of course, I'll be back on Friday, 8:30 p.m. with my boy James Curry for Freedom Friday, which pretty soon we're going to be having call-ins to Freedom Friday, where you'll be able to call in and make your points and speak to us about things. So until next time, just get the podcast on all downloadable platforms, Apple, Spotify, The Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby. Again, also the best place to, really the best place to watch, to interact is the Rumble channel at 1776live.tv. Also, if you have Roku television and you download the Patriot Podcast Network, you'll get us live on there as well, and that's all free. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and I will see you tomorrow. Take care.